Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To episode 17-14 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot concerned about the times we're living in and rising to the occasion. We've got a lot of challenges at our doorstep. But we're going to face them together. This is actually an amazing time. Not a negative thing, just an amazing time to be alive. And we're going through it together. This is pretty exciting stuff. It's not what I prefer. I wish for peace and prosperity. But seasons change. And this is the season that we're in. And we're called to this for this time. You were born and built for this time, if you'll rise up to it. This is the voice of resistance against everything that sets itself against our American heritage and our ideals, our values that we cherish and that are under assault. This is coming at you, streaming from the heart of the American redoubt. That is the conservative stronghold in the inland Pacific Northwest, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and eastern Oregon and eastern Washington states. Eventually, in the future, hopefully the 51st state or the 52nd state, whichever comes first. But eastern Washington could be the state of liberty. The momentum's growing. That's pretty exciting stuff. Tonight's going to be kind of unique. I don't have the final segment for Hunted put together. We've got my family is on the road right now, on the way here, and had a little bit of minor vehicle issues, and that distracted me and kind of took me away from being able to finish working on the show and putting everything together. And I just don't have it together the way that I wanted to present it. So I'll do that next week. Don't worry. And so everything's good. Everybody's safe. Everything's good. So, yeah, they're on their way. And here I am with you guys. Okay. So three segments for tonight's show. And let's get right into it with the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the societal, economic, and political collapse in America and the rebuilding afterward. This morning, sad, on Palm Sunday in Egypt, two different sites were attacked. 27 people were killed in Tanta, while a further dozen died in Alexandria earlier. Three officers died at St. Mark's Cathedral while preventing a bomber from entering a church, and the Egyptian president El-Sisi has decided to declare a state of emergency for 3 months. Just an arbitrary number. Let's call a state of emergency for 3 months. Not until the situation's averted or until things are restored back to normal. It's just 3 months. So I don't know where he come up with that number, but state of emergency. Remember the Christians in your prayers, their families, those Christians over there in Egypt that are facing persecution today. Just remember persecuted church everywhere and the underground church all over the country. We talk about them often. Matter of fact, I've got my list. I've got my poster for this month from the Voice of the Martyrs. For prisoners for Christ, people that are held, Christians that are held in mostly Islamic countries, but they're being persecuted for their faith. And so just remember to pray for them. Where do we got? Russia is basically threatening the United States now that we are at the brink of war. We're saying we are crossing red lines. From the Sun, Russia and Iran say that they will respond to American aggression following the airstrike in Syria. Of course, the Trump administration is saying we're willing to do it again. In a joint statement, the command center for the two countries and allied groups said we will respond to any aggression. And Putin is basically saying that we are, and now, well, of course, with the buildup also in Europe, which continues to intensify, we're very close to where we were 30 years ago, almost, with the Cold War. I mean, this resurgence here. And things, well, of course, North Korea has been working on a wargaming model for a preemptive strike against Japan, against South Korea, against United States assets, if they feel threatened. And now here we are moving a Navy strike group toward the Korean Peninsula as a prudent reaction to the pattern of provocative behavior from North Korea. And we'll have all of this linked in the highlights and resources posting for you. You'll be able to go through and read these stories for yourself. I want to do a segment next week and title it To Prepare for War for American Citizens. And the things that we should be doing, I could actually, as fast as things are accelerating, I could have covered that this week, but I think we have some time. Somebody was asking, why are we not at AMCON? Why are we still at AMCON 5? I just can't believe it with everything going on. We just, this was like the next morning after the cruise missile strikes in Syria. I said, okay, first of all, AMCON is the American Readout Radio Operators readiness condition level based on known and or imminent threats or probable threats to our telecommunications system, our ability to communicate. For example, when there's a Category 3 or 4 hurricane that's barreling toward part of the country, we put on alert. We raise the AMCON level to the highest it's ever been right at the inauguration, because of the threats from the left to break stuff. They said we are going to stop transportation, communications, infrastructure. We are going to disrupt everything, which is what they even called themselves, Disrupt 2017. So right now with this situation unfolding over there, now I'm discussing this with my mentors in AMRON Core about raising the AMCON level, but this is not the same as DEFCON. This is not the defense condition level. That should be definitely at a heightened level. This has to do specifically with the probability of conventional communications being disrupted to raise the awareness and readiness level to be able to respond. So because things are escalating, we're discussing raising that this week, not because we have any intelligence on an imminent or even a likely threat that communications will be disrupted, but to raise awareness because things are getting amplified out there in the geopolitical world. We want to raise awareness and have everybody check their gear, make sure everything's in order, to take some precautionary steps and make sure you practice with your gear. But we should be doing that anyway. And we do regular practice nets. And most likely, a major catastrophic event very likely will not give any warning. So regardless of what the AMCON level is, the AMRON readiness condition level, you should be ready to go operational instantly, As soon as the lights go out, you immediately should be able to get on the air and assess the situation and try to make contact to try to call for help or be there for people who are calling for help and exchanging information, timely intelligence to keep the network informed on what just happened. Why is the light, did the power lights go out? Why is the grid down? What is the size of this event? What is the scope of it? How far reaching is it? And let's get everybody informed. So it doesn't matter really what the AMCON level is. We should always be ready to do that. But we may raise that only to raise awareness and to get everybody to get their stuff ops checked as a kind of a friendly poke. Hey, get your stuff in order, right? Boink, boink on the shoulder. If you haven't charged your batteries, do so. If you haven't checked your gear lately, do it. Inventory your stuff. All right, Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. Then we'll be back with segment two right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
The Voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
60 million. That's how much it cost to fire cruise missiles into Syria in response to the false flag operation. 60 million. And with the national debt tipping the scales at $19.8 trillion, we are about to see the perfect storm hit our economy and the U.S. job report falls flat in March. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, and I continue to bring you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marcos Supremo, and it's amazing. I'm not blowing hot air here, fellow Redoubters. This is quite possibly the most amazing coffee I've ever drank. It smells amazing. It tastes even better. You've got to go out and order a couple of bags right away. It will change your coffee drinking forever. So log on right after the show tonight and go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us and order your bags of San Marcos Supreme right away. You will know, too, what it is like to experience coffee the way it was meant to be tasted. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Welcome back, everyone. And a continued thank you to our sponsor, Sisters Coffee Roasters. Everyone, I want you to stop what you're doing right now, unless you're listening live. Pause the podcast. Go out and go buy a bag of coffee from their website. You will never be the same again. I guarantee it. You will love their coffee. And they are great friends of Eye in the Economy and Radio Free Redoubt. So get out there and support them tonight. Okay, the perfect economic storm. What would it look like at this current moment in time? Well, for that, we need to look at several contributing factors: the aging population of America, our skyrocketing national debt, and finally, the bitter political divisions in our own government. Now, with the action taken in the past 72 hours all around the globe, it is evident that Trump is biting off more than he can chew, and now Washington insiders like Rand Paul are screaming that Trump did what he did without a vote by Congress. And he's right. There was no vote. But bigger factors are at play here with the global financial stage. Last week we did talk about how Russia and China are getting ready to focus on the gold-backed currency. With the president hosting the Chinese contingent this week, I wonder if that was talked about at all. Now, Chinese state media on Saturday cheered the meeting between the U.S. president and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping as one showed around the world that the confrontation between the two powers was not inevitable. The official China Daily newspaper said it was encouraging to see the two-day summit that ended on Friday as, quote, going as well as it could after earlier confusing signals from Washington about how it was approaching the U.S.-China relationship. But the two sides seemed to avoid any diplomatic gaffes at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, which would have tarnished the meeting in the eyes of the protocol-conscious Chinese government. But the Chinese are famous for their long-term strategy. We have talked about their death by a thousand cut strategy before in earlier episodes. Now, how does this perfect storm begin to take place? Well, let's take a look to the experts on one of these things, and let's talk about Charles Hugh Smith, the financial blogger of OfTwoMinds.com and political commentator and co-author of Leverage, How Cheap Money Will Destroy the World. Great blog. I do recommend reading it. Not necessarily always conservative, but it's worth a read. Now, as Fox 519, I always felt that the days of robust economic growth, low national debt, and cheap energy prices were gone. And we've talked about that before. Now, Smith confirms this, and he says that these, quote, overlapping crises will be even worse by 2020. And among them, diminishing returns on skyrocketing personal and government debts. And again, the bitter and violent political divisions. We are now seeing a huge increase as well in predatory lending in the form of reverse mortgages and credit card debts by financial institutions. Nobody's learning from the lessons of the past few years. Now, among other structural forces that will dominate this future U.S. presidencies, Smith cites that America's aging population and inequality wrought by, quote, technological disruption. He says in his analysis said by 2031, the youngest baby boomers will have reached the age of 67, and Americans aged 65 and older will number 75 million. That number is nearly double the figure of 39 million a decade ago. We all know by 2020, Social Security is bankrupt. Now, we couple these factors with a pedantic jobs report from March, where only 98,000 jobs were added. That's a dramatic slowdown. Now, an interesting factor in this jobs report was that there was a large drop in unemployment for workers without high school diplomas. How they track that, I'm not sure. But the Wall Street Journal defines it as, workers with more education have lower unemployment rates. But that was a notable drop in the number of unemployed with less than a high school education in March, suggesting that employers are lowering the bar in search of qualified workers to fill open spots. Not educated workers, but qualified workers. I've asked around here in the readout when I saw this, and that's not the case. Now, the rate was down more than a percentage point just one prior month, and far below the 15% level it hit in several points in 2009 and 2010. Now, I think we're seeing some huge pain here that nobody's covering. I know in the readout, some things have increased, like manufacturing and the medical job industry. I've seen the postings myself. But from what I'm seeing in the financial sector, banks are looking to go more automated and reduce branches. Now, combine that with Payless Shoes and Sears starting to go out of business, as well as a string of other bankruptcies in the industry, we could see the making of a very serious unemployment market once again. Folks, I'm about to offend you here. Again, Trump has bit off more than he could chew. And yes, what happened in Syria was downright awful. Even I, Fox 519, have watched the images of the children who are dying and thought of my own little foxes. And it made me quite sad, and I had to stop and pray. But our problems are too massive here at home. We cannot police the world anymore. And I fear that as his moves of the past week have caused irreparable damage to the U.S. reputation on a broad scope, in all effort to prove that we, quote, never back down from a fight, and we control everything. If we are spread out fighting in Syria, moving nukes to South Korea to begin the fight with North Korea, and have time to take on the Russians all at the same time? Now we're also forgetting that we are running on borrowed time for our own government spending, and we still haven't increased or fixed the debt ceiling. We are going to have the mother of all storms headed our way. Batten down the hatches, everyone, because this ship just sailed into the face of the storm. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
This is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to find some Patriot realtors to help you get strategically relocated to the northern most part of the panhandle of North Idaho, if that's where you got your sights set, and they will definitely help you get moved. Good folks. Great folks. Real quick, over at readoutnews.com, they've got a article posted. It's the stand down. If you guys have not heard of this, it's a stand down for homeless veterans. And it, really, they have such an abundance of gear and food and everything. The stand downs that I've been to, you have to bring your DD-214 to prove that you're in the military. and they stand in line and they process you through, and they give free haircuts. They have food that you can tell them how many members are in your family. They'll give you food to take home if you need it. Usually Goodwill and several thrift stores will donate clothing if you need clothing for your children and for you, your family. They have a lot of veteran support services there with information booths. And they also have a lot of – in the past, they've had quite a bit of military surplus gear, from boots, hats, cold weather gear, gloves, sleeping bags, rucksacks, and things like that that they give away at these stand downs. So if you go to redoubtnews.com, look for the article, Stand Homeless Veterans 2017. It's the stand down for homeless veterans. Doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless veterans, but that's how it began. That's how it started out. It was really an outreach for homeless veterans, but they usually have so much gear that the homeless veterans, I mean, it's more than they could carry, and there's still, you know, a warehouse full of stuff. They want to make sure that veterans have this. So, and those are in all five states in the American Redoubt, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming locations, with the whole schedule right there at redoubtnews.com. Someone was saying this week, you know, hey, you know, I'm starting to concerned about Trump. Maybe he's turning out to be the, you know, the globalist puppet after all with this bombing in Syria. He said we shouldn't be meddling in Syria. I talked about this yesterday on the show on Liberty Broadcast Service, and I reminded him, and I want to remind you guys, the solution for restoring America, although I've been impressed with what I've seen Trump do, I've never been excited about him until his first 30 to 60 days in office. Then I started to get excited about it. He actually started proving that he's going to do some of these things that we're so grateful for. What did he do? In the first few hours, the White House website was changed to English only. They removed all content related to the climate change sham from the website. Within days, they put a hold on bringing unvetted refugees into the country from the top five nations where Islamic terrorists are coming from, as we've seen in Europe. He began enforcing immigration laws and empowering the Border Patrol to begin doing their jobs again after the previous president, which will not be named, had our Border Patrol hamstrung, ordering them not to do their jobs. Trump approached businesses and convinced them to invest in America and not leave the country, to incentivize jobs and American businesses staying in America. He did so many things, but he goes and does this cruise missile bombing in Syria. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. If I were president, I would not have done that. I would not have done that because Syria does not pose a strategic or national security threat to the United States, not an imminent direct threat. We crossed into a sovereign nation overtly and fired cruise missiles into a foreign country. And for the reasons I'm going to get into in a little bit, but remember this. Ephesians 6:22 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This was in response to the listener letter that I got saying, hey, maybe he was, he's just, basically I'm paraphrasing, he was just posing as a conservative, the man we were hoping that he would be, and then now we're seeing his true colors. And I offered this. Maybe he really truly went into this office with a pure motive and intent, heart, to do the right things, and somebody got to him. Maybe somebody approached him. On this level, that nation, that national kingship, high-level president, on that level of nations rising and falling, that is the spiritual realm there. So something happens to these guys when they obtain high-level positions. We're talking about angelic and demonic influencing powers. Who knows what type of visit Trump's had in the last month? You know, who knows? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. From a Christian perspective and what I've read in the Bible about how God influences nations and kings and their minds and their hearts. And I know that the forces of darkness are doing the same thing. For this guy to flip, I mean, the least of all likely people to flip on something that he stands on. But he was influenced, and it could just be something as simplistic as the emotional vision of the emotional visual effect of watching children suffering. It could just be as simple as that that made him change. I hope that's not the case, because that would make him much more fickle than I would have guessed that he is. But remember, don't be surprised at anything that happens, especially at that highest level, because we're wrestling on that level. There is a war going on against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That rings true, no more true that here than in any other place that I can think of. So Trump fires 60 cruise missiles. Why? Because he saw some children suffering from a chemical attack. And this is what I mentioned yesterday. So it's okay. And why? Because he saw the video. But the videos, we've seen the videos from the last, 5 years? 6 years? With 200,000 people displaced. It's a slow, painful death. It's no more of a slow, painful death than a burn victim from a bombing because an apartment complex got bombed by Assad. So many more people have suffered. But it's, you know, I guess you can kill all your people all you want with conventional weapons. But if you use gas to kill 80 people, well, then we're going to have to intervene. And I want to remind you how illogical it is that Assad would use chemical weapons. It makes no sense. Something's not sitting right with me. You know, here's something else too interesting. I have not seen any statement, and I've looked for it. If somebody could help me, I cannot find any statement issued by the Syrian government. They've been accused by the world of using chemical weapons. We just bombed their country with 59 cruise missiles. And Russia is squawking. All these world leaders, but the Syrian government, no official statement whatsoever. Did you do it or not? Yes or no? Let's hear it. Do you deny that you did it, or do you agree that you did it, but it was justified because they were really, really, really bad rebels, and so the only way to really root them out was to use chemical weapons, and you accidentally got some civilians. Some type of explanation. And if you didn't, say it. But nothing but silence. But here's the thing that's been bothering me the last 3 days. Syria is a sovereign nation. Can you just decide you don't like the way somebody does something and send in cruise missiles? Yes, I know. Sarin gas. It's bad. 80 people were killed. That's horrible. But in the last several years, we've done nothing with Syria, with 200,000 dead. Why didn't Trump start a bombing campaign as soon as he became a week into his office? He could have justified it. If it was to save children from burning and dying and the loss of innocent, beautiful baby lives. Can you do that? No, we can do anything we want. I mean, the Romans did. They just sent military wherever they felt like it. The Persians did, the Medes, the Huns, the Turks, the British, the Germans, the Russians. Over history, in history, you have the bigger stick. You can go wherever you want and do whatever you want. You just have to weigh the consequences and be willing to. It's the cost-benefit ratio here. We're going to lose a few troops, but we can project. This will advance the kingdom or the empire or whatever it is, if we take this land because strategic, I don't know, wheat fields and the minerals and ore and the trade routes that this will give us, then open it up to other, we'll be wealthier and stronger and more civilized, and we'll be able to advance that civilization elsewhere, and everyone's going to benefit. So you can justify it in your mind, just going to take in somebody else, using the military, and projecting your political will onto someone else using military to do it because you're stronger than they are and they can't withstand you. But there's consequences too if you make the wrong move. And maybe it's not just about conquest. Maybe it's just doing the right thing because Assad's such a bad guy that he's using ostensibly or purportedly using chemical weapons, which I'm not so sure about. Because the last time they accused Assad of using chemical weapons, it turns out that the people on the ground were saying that it was the rebels that did it. And now you've got this doctor featured on all these news agencies, this doctor talking about this is happening every day here. They are using chemical weapons every day. And here's the pictures and blah, 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 blah. That doctor, I've got the article here, a couple of them. This doctor was tried, lost his medical doctor credentials, and he's been an active, avid, outspoken jihadi who also happens to be a doctor, got booted out of Britain, lost his medical credentials, and now he's in Syria saying, oh, Assad's doing this every day. Look at this. He's a jihadi. He has no credibility. But they're using him, the doctor on the ground, talking about all the children being killed, and he's an Al-Qaeda operative. Look, can you just go into another country and drop bombs on them because they start killing their people in a different way than you approve of? I mean, what if there's a guy that's a drunkard? Every payday, he goes out, gets wasted, and then comes home and beats his wife and his kids to a bloody pulp. And he says to the wife, if you tell the police, I'll kill you. If you leave me, I'll kill you. Now, the right thing to do is to just go snuff the guy. Right? That's called vigilantism. Taking actions outside the law and taking that, those matters into your own hands, operating autonomously and individually to do justice. Now, that is the right thing to do to that guy. But that is technically vigilantism, especially when you have a standing system in place and you bypass that to carry out your own justice. And I'm not saying vigilantism is a good thing or a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. But what if there's a cop named Vladimir Putin who says, I'll be standing guard right here to make sure there's peace and stability in this home and to make sure Hank the drunk doesn't beat up on his family anymore. But then it continues. Now you go and snuff Hank. And Vladimir, the cop, gets mad at you, goes and gets his shotgun, and locks and loads. And says, if you come near Hank again, he's gonna go get the... Well, you already took care of Hank. Because of what you did to Hank, if you come near his home again, he's going to get the SWAT team, and he's going to come and kick your door in, light your house on fire, and burn your neighborhood to the ground. Now, you might say, I don't care what Vladimir says. I'm going to go do the right thing because it's the right thing. Something needs to happen to Hank. But see, in this scenario that I'm putting together here, Trump is obligating us, because we live in his neighborhood, he's obligating us to a fight when our nation isn't being directly threatened. Now, at least I could go to the rest of my family and my neighborhood and get their support and their buy-in before obligating them to a fight. This is a tough one. I'm struggling with this. So Trump acted unilaterally, which is fine in certain circumstances, but it was based on an emotionally charged news video of children dying. Beautiful, innocent babies, he says, because they were killed with chemicals, and that's crossing the line. Now, let me ask you this. Are we going to use that as the measure for whether or not to engage people with cruise missile strikes using chemicals to kill babies? Because if that's the measure on taking that type of action to punish somebody, to deter somebody, and to serve justice against somebody for using chemicals to kill babies, then President Trump, I propose you begin a cruise missile strike campaign on all the Planned Parenthood locations. Because way more than 80 babies are killed every day. Chemically induced abortions. Dissolving fetuses. A long, slow death of innocent, beautiful babies using chemicals. That's where you draw the line. That's when you can justify using cruise missiles. Well, then I say, why stop at Syria? You've got to take this logic and apply it evenly, if that's how you're going to go with it. Anyway, I talked about prepping yesterday. And let me finish up here with this. I responded to a letter. Somebody said, you know, how do I talk to my wife about prepping? And I responded. I encourage you to go and listen to that. But I talk about how it's a man's duty. It is his responsibility to gauge what is dangerous, what danger exists to his family, and take appropriate measures, including prepping for that. Now, I know there's a lot of men in the audience that are faced with that same situation, and my wife's fighting me on it. She says, we're just living out of fear, you preparing. And I said, men, you have a duty to prepare whether she's on board or not. When you see danger, you have an obligation to take care of your family. And I know there's some men out there, yeah, that's what JJS said. I have to protect my family. It's my duty. See, hon, listen to this. Okay, I'm not done with my thought. I just ran out of time yesterday. And one of the words that I used was balance. So if you're going to protect your family against threats, and you feel like there could be a potential tactical threat that could harm your family, lawlessness, the rule without the rule of law. I watched the Book of Eli movie again for the first time in like 5 years. Wow. You had better have the means to defend yourself, even if you never need it. If you ever do need it, there's no substitute. I believe that every family member in America, this God-free, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, should have a combat rifle and at least three basic combat loads, minimum. A basic combat load is 210 rounds. That's 7 30-round magazines. You got two pouches with three mags in each one and then one in the weapon. That's 210 rounds. You should have at least three basic combat loads, one of them in magazines, ready to go. Food. You need to be self-reliant. You need to have food production capabilities, gardening, chickens, goats, whatever. Your food storage is to get you through until you can begin producing your own. First aid. Be prepared to provide for your own first aid when there is no doctor available. Shelter, including fuel for heat, for cooking, and personal hygiene. But that's for the future. That's prepping, preparing for a potential future time of hardship or a catastrophic event. But I want to ask you, what threats are you allowing to destroy your family now while your back is turned and your attention is focused on prepping? Are your children attending government schools? What's coming into your home through television? What's coming into your home and your family's minds through the internet? How will they be able to intellectually resist a new system of governance that's being implemented right now, what alternative would they have to present to this new world system that's coming if they don't know their own American heritage or our history or our founding documents and the meaning of republicanism and federalism or what a constitutional republic even means? While you're prepping, they are being indoctrinated into this new world system and they don't have a problem with it because there's no counter doctrine being provided to them. The enemy isn't coming when the social, political, and economic system collapses. They already have. You get that? And the enemy is already here. And while you're going back to Proverbs, you know, the wise see danger and take refuge while the foolish keep going to suffer, using that to justify prepping to survive the future, when your family isn't even surviving the adversary that's already not at your doorstep, but in your home and inside your family right now. Preparing and storing up and being prepared to defend life and protect your family and your community and your nation, yes, absolutely. That is scripturally sound doctrine. But only so long as that's not the only scripture you're applying to your life. And just using that to justify immersing yourself in your prepping hobby. That makes sense? All right. Now, if you are, your life's properly balanced and you want to do more to learn how to prepare yourself and your family for future hardship, I want to encourage you to attend the Northwest Preparedness Expo. Go to nwpreparednessexpo.com for the 2017 Northwest Preparedness Expo. It's $10 for adults, $5 for students. That's 13 to 18 years old, and free for 12 and under, and active duty military are also free. It's one day only, Saturday, May 6th. I will be speaking. Author Glenn Tate will be speaking. Codename K from Combat Studies Group. Dave Taylor, Representative Dave Taylor, Representative Matt Shea, Dr. Pruitt, Dave from AMP3. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. Brian Domke here from Defensive Landscaping. Ranger Rick's going to talk about disaster medicine and hygiene. Patrice Lewis. Just a ton of great speakers there with some great resources and vendors to help you and your family become prepared to face challenges and become self-reliant in the future. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about a fellow Patriot journalist that was arrested, and he's still in jail. And this is from an article from Readout News. I meant to cover last week, but I had it in a different set of notes, and so I didn't cover it. But this is really important. Titled, "The Arrest of Gary Hunt Not Only Threatens Freedom of the Press, It Threatens All of Us." That, when we come back, with Segment 3, here at Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. State sovereignty is back in the news, and many people agree that we need to recover the lost art of freedom. But how do we do that? Many ideas have been thrown out there, but one of the best that I heard over the summer is what I and 15 other state legislators from other states throughout the West call the 5 steps to freedom. I'd like to share those with you today. First, state legislators must nullify unconstitutional legislation. For instance, nationalized health care or cap and trade are not specific enumerated powers of the federal government and Congress. Therefore, state legislators can nullify such laws. The idea comes from Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who first introduced it because they believed it was a natural right of the states in the checks and balances process. Step 2. We need to erect an impenetrable wall around the Second Amendment. That takes several forms. First, an extension of the castle doctrine. Wherever I stand, that's my castle. Number 2, oath-keeping. Sheriffs need to uphold their oaths to the Constitution of the United States and the several states. And number 3, a sheriff-first piece of legislation which allows sheriffs the process by which they can arrest and detain federal agents acting beyond their scope of authority. Number 3, we need to restore sound money. And what does that mean? We need to return to a gold and silver standard. Number 4, we need to secure our borders by making the state verify citizenship before issuing a driver's license, a business license, or any other formal source of state recognition. And number 5, wherever any of this legislation fails, the people need to introduce that by way of initiative. State sovereignty is the path back to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
This is segment 3 here at Radio Free Redoubt, and on this episode, 1714, this will only be 3 segments to this episode. I'll be covering the final Hunted review and analysis next week. And by the way, you guys, thank you for helping spread the word about Radio Free Redoubt to your friends and family, and thank you for supporting us through your prayers, through your just letters of encouragement, and also financially. We're growing so fast. AMRO's growing. Radio Free Redoubt's growing. And we're bursting at the seams. And to keep up with all that, it costs. And so any financial help, if you think that Radio Free Redoubt's a blessing and something's worthwhile to invest in, you want to help keep us growing and expanding and doing what we're doing, then any amount, $5, $10, $20, $50, whatever a month is a huge help. And you know how else you can help us? If maybe you don't have the extra money, but you already purchase things on Amazon.com on a regular basis, we have an affiliate link. Anytime you do any shopping, no matter what it is, it's a new pair of shoes, if it's a barbecue grill, if it's it doesn't have to be radio or prepper relating stuff. Any type of purchase, click on the banner on the right-hand side, either on Amron.com or RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Click on the Amazon banner. When you click on through, it attaches an affiliate link. So any shopping that you do on Amazon for the next, I think, 24 hours after that, we get a small portion that helps us out. So you buy something for 10 bucks and they kick us 50 cents or 60 cents or whatever it is. And all that adds up. So we're grateful. And it doesn't cost you any more. They either pay it out to it as an affiliate fee and it helps us out, or they pocket it if they don't have to pay it out. So it doesn't cost you any more. Oh, bummer news, though, for you, the Idaho folks. They passed some legislation now, and this is spreading across the country. Any purchases on Amazon now Amazon collects sales tax for Idaho residents. Isn't that rotten? Stinking bloodsuckers. I know the Patriots were fighting it in the legislature, but anyway, okay, let's get to this. RedoubtNews.com. They're doing a fantastic job. I just love those guys over there. They've been covering the political prisoners and the trials that are going on with the Bundy Ranch and Malheur Wildlife Refuge. In all of that, there has been a great patriot and a longtime journalist who's been covering a lot of that stuff with the Patriots. His name is Gary Hunt. Gary Hunt has been covering the political prisoner trials and all of this stuff unfold. He did a lot of research, really exposed a lot of the paid informants that were embedded, you know, up to 17, at least, well, at least 14 to 17 known informants paid for by the FBI who were embedded with the Patriots specifically to make money selling information about the goings on of the Patriots and things that are being discussed, who's coming and going, what type of weapons they have, what type of communications do they have, feeding real-time intel out to the outside. Gary Hunt has exposed from the Outpost of Freedom. Gary Hunt has exposed these informants from the court documents, and he did quite a bit of research. Given the revelations that came out in the trial of the political prisoners, in which the government noted that over 1,000 individuals, either employees or contractors of the FBI, were working on infiltrating the Bundy circles to discover who is showing support for the Bundys and others on social media through comments, likes, and shares. Remember what I said, Patriots? Social media is your enemy. All right. They were building a database of potential co-conspirators, as Harry Reid called them, domestic terrorists. Okay, so Gary Hunt puts postings up exposing the informants. This judge orders him to take him down or to come in to explain why you're not taking it down. Well, he refused to. So she puts out a warrant against him. I haven't read this whole article yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to continue following this. So Gary was accused of violating a gag order placed by this judge, Anna Brown, on the defendants and their attorneys not to reveal the names of federal informants. But the gag order did not apply to Gary Hunt, and he was not subject to its scope or purview. Gary has stated that he obtained his information from sources unrelated to the gag order. Moreover, Gary was a member of the press with a long proven and proven track record of being a bona fide journalist and was exempt from the restrictions of the court as set forth in the Pentagon Files case, New York Times versus United States 403 U.S. But he refused. He's in violation of a gag order that didn't even apply to him. So she has him arrested. She had him arrested, and now he can't get out on bond, because she's claiming that he could be a flight risk. There's no evidence at all to support that notion. So, this is what it says. Oregon, like all states, have very similar rules regarding the long arm of the law reaching into another jurisdiction and hauling someone into their jurisdiction. In every respect, Gary does not meet the long arm statutes test, and therefore, the Oregon district over which Anna Brown presides does not have jurisdiction. Which it says, unless the defendant is served with a summons within the jurisdiction of the issuing court, the act of serving the summons and complaint on the defendant is usually not enough to support a finding of personal jurisdiction over the defendant. To support a finding of personal jurisdiction over an out-of-state defendant, the defendant typically has to have certain minimum contacts with the forum state. An appearance to deny the jurisdiction of the court over the subject matter is, according to the weight of authority, a general appearance. A general appearance means that he waives objection to Anna Brown jurisdiction. Therefore, Gary was right to err on the side of caution and not waive his right to object to personal jurisdiction by making a general appearance. In other words, he has the right not to, according to this case law here, not to appear because he does not fall under her jurisdiction. So now she's basically saying he doesn't have the ability. Oh, Anna Brown is declaring guilt of the defendants prior to any trial and thereby eviscerating the bedrock principle of innocence until proven guilty. She has declared that her pretrial finding of guilt is sufficient cause to deny bail because they are too dangerous and are flight risks. She, the judge, is using the same language with Gary Hunt. This is what she applied to the other occupiers of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. She's applying this to Gary Hunt. to set up a scenario for denying him bail and placing him in pretrial detention. Gary Hunt participated neither in the protest at Bunkerville nor the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. But this is unbelievable what's happening here. Again, this is a political prisoner because she did not want him revealing the names of the confidential informants. And he did. And she's claiming that he violated the gag order, but he got his information from other people, other sources that were not under a gag order. In fact, I've seen some of the documentation, and it comes directly from the court documents themselves, from the testimony of FBI agents and others in law enforcement who exposed the informants. There are more informants, too. That's just the ones we know of. So this is just unbelievable. But we're going to post a link to that story for you guys to go check out for yourself. And we will continue to follow up with this and bring you updates. I'll be talking to Sherry Diwali from Redoubt News and get all this exposed. Unbelievable. It's not even America anymore. Okay, guys, you have a great week. Have a blessed week. Be safe and stay frosty. Stay alert. Watch your six. And don't give up. Don't give up the fight for liberty. Don't give up the fight for Americanism. You're not alone. Right here with you. And all the other thousands of other patriots that are listening right now, you guys, you're the remnant for sure. But it is a big remnant. All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. Good night.